The following Stealing the Mind of America presentation by Kent Hovind is entitled The Age of the Earth. For a complete audio and video teaching tape catalog, call Compass at 1-800-977-2177.
When was the beginning? We're going to talk about that tonight. Jesus said in Colossians chapter 1, the Bible says that Jesus created all things. So I would be willing to bet that Jesus knows how old the earth is, since he's the one that made it, right? And in Matthew chapter 19, verse 4, Jesus said, "Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female?" Same thing in Mark 10:6. That was the beginning, folks, when he made them male and female. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 that death came by sin, and it tells us very clearly, in Adam all die. So nothing died until Adam sinned. So those folks who are trying to teach that there was a pre-Adamic civilization are just simply wrong. There was no pre-Adamic civilization. Nothing died until Adam sinned. And the Bible says the first man was Adam. It couldn't be more clear. And then it says in Genesis 5, Adam lived 130 years and begat a son and named him Seth. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. If you add up the dates that are given all through the Bible, you will come to approximately 6,000 years ago for the creation of Adam and Eve, not millions and billions. About 4,000 B.C. or 6,000 years ago from the present. Now, I'm not one of those guys that tries to put an exact date on the creation. I don't say that it was 4,004 B.C., October 23rd at 2 in the afternoon. I don't think you can get that close from the Scripture. I think Adam was made in the afternoon because it was just before Eve, the only clue I found. And I cannot prove this, but I think I figured out why God made Adam first. I think God made Adam first because he didn't want any advice on how to do it. Just my humble opinion on that. Anyway, the dates in the Bible add up to approximately 6,000. Now, I get to do lots of debates at universities and radio and TV call-in talk shows, and there's always an atheist or skeptic or scoffer in the crowd. He'll call up or he'll stand up and he'll say, "Mr. Hovind, I got a question for you. If Adam and Eve had Cain and Abel, Cain killed Abel, then they had Seth. Who did their sons marry, huh?" You're like, "Boy, we got you now, don't we?" I say, "Look, fella, if you believe in evolution, you got a much worse problem than I do. You know what you guys believe? You guys believe that 4.6 billion years ago the earth formed, and 3.9 billion years ago the oceans formed, and in the oceans, the first living organisms appeared. Yes, boys and girls, swirling in the waters of the oceans is a bubbling broth of complex chemicals. Progress from a complex chemical soup to a living organism is very slow." "Well, I guess it is. Don't happen at all. That's how slow it is." I tell them in the textbooks, "The first self-replicating systems must have emerged in this organic soup." I say, "You fellas believe in evolution, which means you have to get two cells to evolve out of the soup at the same time, of the opposite sex, in the same place. It's a big world, you know. Cells are kind of small. They got to find each other. You got a whole bunch of problems I don't have. I don't have a problem because my Bible says Adam lived after he begat Seth 800 years and begat sons and daughters." How many kids could you have in 800 years? Several, right? So in the first generation, they married sisters. You say, "Married sisters?" Yep. First place, there's no other choice. Secondly, who would you report them to? Thirdly, there were no laws against it till 2,500 years later when Moses gave the law. They didn't need any laws against marrying sisters because there weren't any deformed chromosomes. The race was genetically pure. See, everything about you is inherited. Even having children is hereditary. If your parents don't have any, you won't either. You say, "Wow, I never thought about that, Brother Hovind." Well, you go think about it. That's a fact. One guy said, "Wait a minute, you can't marry your sister. What about genetic similarity?" Adam married his rib. You talk about genetic similarity. Okay? It's not a problem in the first generation marrying sisters. Anyway, you won't notice this reading your Bible, folks, but if you graph it out. By the way, if you get a set of my videotapes, my seminar notebook comes with it for free. It's out there on the table right outside that door. This same graph is hanging down below this chart. The last page of that notebook folds out to be this chart. You can see some amazing things off this chart. Did you know that Adam lived long enough to know his great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson? Noah's daddy knew Adam for 56 years. Can you imagine a family reunion back in those days? Okay, kids, everybody hop on the camel. We're going to go visit great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa Adam. And he's going to tell us what it was like in the Garden of Eden before the first woman ate the first man out of house and home. Or whatever happened back then. Anyway, the dates from the Bible add up to about 6,000, folks, not millions and billions. There, the textbook says the earth is billions of years old. Jesus said the creation of Adam was the beginning. Looks to me like somebody is wrong. Was Jesus lying when he said the creation of Adam was the beginning? The age of the earth is an incredibly important question. Here the textbooks tell the kids the earth is billions of years old, millions of years ago, 4.6 billion years ago. The books are full of this stuff. Even many Christians have fallen for it, and they go around teaching the earth is billions of years old. Folks, it cannot be billions of years old. I get asked the question, who cares? And what difference does it make? Why cause a fight over this argument, over this issue? Well, for one thing, the credibility of Jesus is at stake. He said the creation of Adam was the beginning, and Jesus quoted Genesis 25 times. The credibility of Genesis is at stake. If the earth is billions of years old, Genesis is junk. The credibility of the whole Bible is at stake. Nearly every other book in the Bible refers back to Genesis. Folks, this is a very serious issue about the age of the earth. We're going to talk about that. Jesus said, had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Do you believe what Moses wrote? His dates add up to about 6,000, folks. How old is this earth? Let's look at some scientific evidence that the earth is not billions of years old. The population of the earth today is getting... I understand that last month they announced that they believe we have just crossed over the 6 billion mark in world population. If you don't know how much a billion is, don't worry about it because Congress has no idea either. But a billion is a lot. In 1985, there were 5 billion people in the world. Back in 1800, there was only 1 billion people in the world. The population of the earth is growing rapidly. Nobody argues about that. But the earth is not overcrowded. Have you driven across eastern Colorado or Kansas or Nebraska or Wyoming? Look, if it's overcrowded where you are, move. The whole world's population today would fit inside the city limits of Jacksonville, Florida, twice. There's 25 billion square feet in that one city. Folks, the world is not overcrowded. Go drive around and find a new spot to live if you don't like where you are. There's plenty of room out there. But in spite of all the propaganda about overcrowding, it is certainly not. Back when Jesus was here, about 2,000 years ago, the world had 250 million people. 250 million was the world population. You know, it sure looks like the whole population growth curve started about 4,400 years ago. Well, now that's interesting, because the Bible teaches that about 6,000 years ago, God created the heaven and the earth. 4,400 years ago, there was a flood that destroyed the world, and 8 people survived. If you start with 8 people having kids and grandkids and great-grandkids, you can grow a population of 5 or 6 billion in a few thousand years. Now, if you believe in evolution, and you think man's been here for 3 million years, oh, you got a problem. In 3 million years, the population would have grown to where we would now have 150,000 people per square inch. That would be crowded. No, man has not been here for no 3 million years. Hey, by the way, there's a bunch of folks called they would like what's called a New World Order. Anybody ever heard of the New World Order? You know, Bush and Clinton and all these guys. They would like the world population reduced to 500 million by the year 2000. I think this started in the Garden of Eden when the Lord told the serpent, he said, man, you're going to crawl on your belly and eat dust the rest of your life. And then the Lord said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Satan knows someday some seed of the woman is going to bruise his head. Now, he doesn't know who it is, so his response is he's going to try to kill every human being alive. You remember when Herod wanted to kill baby Jesus in Bethlehem? What did they do? They killed all the babies, right? He's only trying to get one. And Satan doesn't know who it is going to bruise his head, so he's trying to kill every human being alive. So what's happened, the devil has put it into the head of some of these super rich gazillionaires that they really ought to reduce the world population. Jacques Cousteau said, we must eliminate 350,000 people a day to save the planet, of course, you know. Charles Worcester said, people are the cause of all the problems. We have too many of them. We need to get rid of some of them. Mr. Gregg said, the world has cancer and the cancer is man. This is the attitude these people have. Ted Turner, president of CNN, the Communist News Network. He said a total world population of 250 to 300 million people, a 95% decline would be ideal. All right, Ted, you first. And take your wife, Hanoi Jane Fonda, next. Prince Philip said, if I could be reincarnated, I would wish to return to Earth as a killer virus to lower human population levels. These people got it into their head that there are too many people and we need to save the planet by eliminating some of the population. If you get a chance, go to Atlanta, Georgia, drive toward Greenville, South Carolina, and stop in the town of Elberton. Go 7 miles north of Elberton on Highway 77, look 100 yards off to the right, and you will find the Georgia Guidestones set up by the Masonic Lodge. There on the Georgia Guidestones, written in 8 languages, you will find the 10 commandments for the New Age. Commandment number 1 on the Georgia Guidestones is maintain humanity under 1.5 billion. Maintain humanity under 0.5 billion. You mean they want to get rid of 95% of the people in the world? Yep. And actually, the target date is May 5th of the year 2000. They want to reduce the population to 0.5 billion by May 5th. I hope they don't make it. But you know what? May 5th happens to be Karl Marx's birthday. Of course, a lot of things happen in May. The communists celebrate May Day. Israel became a nation in May. But their target is to get the world population reduced to 0.5 billion by May 5th of the year 2000. Now, I suspect they've got all kinds of plans to use a little, you know, extra chaos created by... I'm not worried about the computers for Y2K. I'm worried about the politicians. This is a golden opportunity, folks, to have King William the First. Well, not a scary thought. Anyway, the population of the Earth indicates it is not billions of years old. It's only be a few thousand years old. That's a powerful proof against the evolution teaching. Let's look at a few more facts here. Galaxies are spinning, but the stars in the middle are going faster than the stars at the outside. Because of the difference of speed, if the galaxies were billions of years old, they would not be spiral-shaped. The existence of spiral galaxies indicates they are not billions of years old. Red stars slowly turn into a white star. It's called stellar evolution, but actually it's all backwards. None of it helps evolution theory. But red giants turn into white dwarf stars. Textbooks will typically say it takes 100,000 years for a red giant to turn to a white dwarf. Well, we know this is not true. All the ancient astronomers said Sirius was a red star. They all described Sirius as red. Sirius is the brightest star in the sky, by the way. And today it is a white dwarf star. They say it takes 100,000 years. We know what happens in less than 2,000 years. Some of the planets, like Jupiter, are cooling off rapidly. They are losing heat. You can't just keep losing heat, folks. Pretty soon you've cooled off. I mean, if I walked into a room and found a cup of coffee sitting on the table, and somebody said, don't touch the coffee, that's hot. And I said, well, whose is it? And they said, oh, we don't know. It's been sitting there for 400 years. And it's still hot? You find that kind of hard to believe, don't you think? They want me to believe these planets are billions of years old, but they're constantly losing heat. Saturn has rings around it, but the rings are constantly moving away from the planet. Saturn is losing its rings. They can only be a few thousand years old. If the universe is billions of years old, why does Saturn still have rings around it? Jupiter has a little moon called Ganymede. This little moon, Ganymede, has a very strong magnetic field. That indicates a hot liquid core, and yet it's way out there in the solar system, not getting any heat from the sun at all, hardly. It should have cooled off billions of years ago. It can't be billions of years old. The moon is going around the Earth. How many knew that already? The moon goes around the Earth. But you know, as the moon goes around, it's gradually getting farther and farther away. We're slowly losing the moon. It's only a couple inches a year, no big deal, nothing to worry about, plus nothing you can do about it anyway. But the moon is getting farther from the Earth every year. Now, folks, this is going to be complicated, so listen carefully. The moon is getting farther from the Earth every year. So that means that it used to be closer. How many can figure that out with no help? Several? Okay. Well, now, if you bring the moon back in closer, you start to create a problem because the moon causes the tides. You folks up here probably don't even worry about the tides, but in Pensacola, you worry about the tides. And if you bring the moon back in closer, the tides would be higher. There's a law called the inverse square law. If you half the distance, you quadruple the attraction. A couple of billion years ago, the moon would have been so close that the tides would have been so high that it would have drowned everything on Earth twice a day. And you can only drown comfortably once a day. No, I'm sorry, it is not billions of years old. I have in my office in Pensacola, Florida, a porthole from a space capsule. One of the windows of a space capsule. I got it in my office. That thing is so scratched up you can hardly see through it. Because outer space is full of dust. Now, they've known about space dust for a long time. And what the real scratches the glass on the windows of the space capsules is they're going around 18,000 miles an hour running into the dust. Well, they knew that the moon is going around the Earth, and the Earth goes around the sun at 66,000 miles an hour. And so the Earth and the moon are both collecting dust, like your windshield collects bugs if you drive through a flock of bugs. Well, or herd or gaggle or whatever they're called. But the Earth has an atmosphere to protect us, and if the dust does get to the surface, we have wind to blow it around and water to wash it off into the soil, so it gets incorporated into the dirt. The moon doesn't have wind or water, so the moon dust was a serious concern. Scientists did a lot of studies on the moon dust, on space dust, and they predicted the moon dust might get about an inch thick every 10,000 years. A famous astronomer named Littleton said, there could be a layer of dust over the moon several miles deep. Now, he said that in 1955. Before they went to the moon. Isaac Asimov said, I get a picture of the first spaceship picking out a nice level place for landing purposes, coming in slowly downward, tail first, and sinking majestically out of sight. He said that in 1959, before they went to the moon. Here's a children's book from 1959. They said, boys and girls, the moon does not look like the Earth at all. There's only dust, deep gray dust, 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 dust. They were so worried about the dust on the moon, they put extra equipment in the backpack. They made the backpack dustproof. I talked to the guy who built it. He said, I was told, make the backpack dustproof. In case he sinks into the dust, we want to be able to keep radio communication with him.
Hey, how are you doing down there?
They put huge landing pads on the spacecraft to make sure it wouldn't sink in, to give it what is called the snowshoe effect. And yet when they got there and walked on the moon, they found the dust was only about a half inch deep. Now, the Christians at NASA said to their buddies who believed in evolution, they said, hey, fellas, where's the dust? Now, the atheists didn't say it, but I know they were thinking it. You know, I bet the Baptists went up there and cleaned that just to make us look stupid. We didn't do it. No, I can tell them where the dust is, folks. You see, about 6,000 years ago, God created everything. So the moon is about 6,000 years old, so it ought to probably ought to have about a half inch of dust by now.
It does. What do you know?
So they left some plates up there to actually collect dust, to measure the accumulation of dust. It turns out it's not quite as bad as they thought. It's not an inch every 10,000 years. It's only 2.7 inches per million years. But that still should mean the dust on the moon would be 1,000 feet thick if it were 4.6 billion years old. And it is not 1,000 feet thick. Okay, let's look at a few more facts here. Comets are flying around through space, but comets have a short life expectancy. The life expectancy of less than 10,000 years because they are constantly losing material. You can't just keep losing and losing and losing. Pretty soon, it's gone. It's kind of like your checkbook, you know? If your outgo exceeds your income, your upkeep will be your downfall every time. So these comets are flying around through space, and they're constantly losing material, and so they have a life expectancy of less than 10,000 years. I mentioned this in a seminar one time, and I've now discovered there are at least four websites dedicated just to me, anti-Hovind websites. I'm honored that they would do that. But one guy wrote this huge book blasting everything I say, word for word. He says, you can't use the comet argument. This is what this scoffer said. In 1950, based on a study of the orbits of several long-period comets, the Dutch astronomer Jan Oort proposed, that means he guessed, he hoped, he thought so, that a great spherical shell of them existed in the remote frontiers of our solar system. Long ago and far away. He said this Oort cloud was 50,000 astronomical units away. Now, the distance from Earth to Moon to the Sun is one astronomical unit. 93 million miles is one astronomical unit. He says this cloud must be way out there. There's a problem with the Oort cloud. Nobody has ever seen the Oort cloud. Oort never saw the Oort cloud. Actually, it's based on a mathematical goof. There is no Oort cloud. It doesn't exist. But this scoffer went on to say, Sorry, fellows, if you want to use the comet argument, it's up to you to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the Oort cloud and other sources don't exist. Excuse me? How do you prove the non-existence of something? I mean, where would you start? Okay. I would say if he wants to use my tax dollars to teach evolution in the school system, it's up to him to prove it does exist. Yeah. Here's what we know as far as science is concerned. We know we have comets. We know they don't last long. You put two and two together and figure it out. Looks to me like the Bible might be right. The earth is not billions of years old. Everything from the heavens declares the glory of God. The psalmist said, when I consider thy heavens. And by the way, folks, it says when, not if. I think we spend too much time considering what man has done. The beautiful buildings, the video, TV, VCR, radio. You better get outside and just lay down and watch the stars once in a while. Consider the heavens. The psalmist said, while I was musing, the fire burned. The word muse is only used twice in the Bible. It literally means to think. We don't take much time to think anymore. Stop and think. You know, there's an English word called theist. A theist is a person who believes in God. Now, I'm no English scholar by a long shot, but I know if you put an A in front of a word, it oftentimes means the opposite of. An atheist is a person who does not believe in God. Now, the word muse means to think. The word amuse literally means to not think. Did you know there are whole parks where you can pay and go do that? How many have ever heard of those before? Amusement parks. Yeah, the world's full of them. He said, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Did you know if you take some time and consider the heavens, you'll have a lower opinion of man? I'm going to step on some toes here tonight, so get ready. Some of you parents ought to go home and go in your kids' bedroom and see what kind of posters they've got plastered all over the wall. And if all they have is sports heroes or things that man has made, airplanes, rockets, nothing wrong with that stuff. But folks, you're teaching them to spend all their time thinking and meditating on what man has done instead of thinking about what God has done. I think you're making a tragic mistake. When I consider the heavens, the psalmist said. What about the earth? How old is the earth? All the heavens say they're not billions of years old. The book of Job says, speak to the earth and it shall teach thee. Well, the earth has a magnetic field around it, but this magnetic field is getting weaker every day. We're slowly losing the magnetic strength. Which means, of course, it cannot be billions of years old, and that means carbon dating cannot work for more than a few thousand years. Now, what they did several years ago, because of this embarrassing problem, the magnetic field is declining. That's the observed science for 300 years. Somebody said, you know, this makes a problem for the evolution theory. We've got to figure out a way to solve this problem. So they went to the bottom of the Mid-Atlantic Ridge, and they checked the magnetic intensity of the rock. And it made a sine wave, stronger and weaker, stronger and weaker, stronger and weaker magnetism. Some guy came along and drew a line through the middle of the sine wave and called everything below the line a magnetic reversal. Oh, big mistake. That was not a reversal. It was simply weaker magnetism. We cover on video number 6 of my series why they have those magnetic anomalies down there. But every place on the ocean floor, the compass points north. The line actually should have gone down there. It's just stronger and weaker magnetism. There are no magnetic reversals. But a lot of students have swallowed the idea that there is because it solves the embarrassing problem of the declining strength of the magnetic field. That's why it is so important. Same thing with Pangaea. That all ties in. You have to watch video number 6 to get that. A couple of more thoughts here about the age of the Earth. The Earth is spinning. We are turning around. How many knew that already? Okay. At the equator, we're going about 1,000 miles an hour. But the Earth is slowing down. It slows down about 1/1000th of a second every day. In 1990, they had to add a tick to the clock. This article says, regular clocks use days as a measure, which are growing longer by 1/1000th of a second or more daily as Earth's rotation slows. See, the Earth is slowing down, folks. There's at least 3 factors causing it to slow down. Internal friction from the liquid center. You know, spin a basketball full of water, it'll slow down quickly. External friction from the tides washing up and down on the beach. And thirdly is the wind blowing against the mountain ranges. It's a minor force, but it does tend to slow the Earth down. Those 3 forces combine and slow the Earth down. Astronomy magazine announced, Earth's rotation is slowing down. June will be 1 second longer than normal. We will have a leap second. Leap second. Now, most people have heard of leap year, but many people don't know we have to have a leap second about every year and a half because the Earth is slowing down. Now, folks, this is going to be complicated, so listen carefully. The Earth is spinning, but it is slowing down. So that means that it used to be going faster. How many can figure that out with no help? Okay, 4, 5, 6. Well, now, if the Earth is only 6,000 years old, like the Bible says, this is not a problem. The Earth was going a little faster. They wouldn't notice. Adam didn't have a watch anyway, as far as we know. But some of these guys want me to believe the Earth is billions of years old. Ooh, now that would make a problem. You go back a few billion years, the Earth was spinning real fast. Your days and nights would be pretty quick. Get up, go to bed, get up, go to bed, get up, go to bed, get up, go to bed. You'd never get nothing done. And the centrifugal force would have been enormous. And the winds would have been 5,000 miles an hour from the Coriolis effect. And they think dinosaurs lived 200 million years ago? I know what happened to them. They got blown off. No, they did not live 200 million years ago, folks. The Sahara Desert in Africa has what is called a prevailing wind pattern. The wind almost always blows the same way. Well, this creates a problem because the desert is growing. The process is called desertification. Hot air blows off the desert and it kills the trees next door, and that area becomes desert. Sahara Desert is 1,300 miles north to south, growing 4 miles a year. They just announced a few months ago Sahara Desert is only 4,000 years old. Well, then I got a question. If the Earth is billions of years old, why is the largest desert only 4,000 years old? Well, I have a theory about that. Here's my theory. I believe that about 6,000 years ago, God created the heaven and the earth, just like the Bible says, and 4,400 years ago, there was a flood, just like the Bible says. And so based on what the Bible says, I would predict the largest desert in the world is less than 4,400 years old, because it's pretty hard to have a desert under a flood. Maybe the Bible's right after all, folks. But you know, when they drill down into the ground, sometimes they hit oil. The oil is under incredible pressure down there, oftentimes 20,000 pounds per square inch in oil wells. It'll come squirting up out of the ground like a big zip. 20,000 PSI. The guys who study the rocks on top of the oil say, you know, it can't handle that pressure for more than about 10,000 years. The pressure should have cracked the rock. It should have leaked off by now. Okay. Well, then I have two obvious questions. Where did the oil come from? And why is it still under pressure? Well, nearly all scientists agree that oil comes from animals that are squished. You can take plants and animals and squish them and change them into oil. Scientists can take a ton of garbage and press it into oil in a few minutes in the laboratory. It's been done under what's considered natural conditions. They could say, no, it can happen in 1,000 years. Oil can form. Sinclair Oil Company has the dinosaur as their logo. They say the dinosaurs turned to oil. Yes, boys and girls, it's mellowed for 80 million years. I don't think so. No. I have a theory about the oil. Here's my theory. I believe about 6,000 years ago, God created the heaven and the earth, like the Bible says. 4,400 years ago, there was a flood. In that flood, lots of critters and people drowned. And their carcasses got buried by the gravel and sand and rocks and mud. It got pretty heavy after a while, and it squished them into oil. So the oil is down there from the people and animals that drowned in the flood. And that means, if you stop and think about that, you drove over here tonight on some of your ancestors. Next time you're at the gas station, pumping them in there, you say, bye, Grandpa. You should have listened to Noah. He told you it was going to rain, Grandpa. You know, I was in Denver, Colorado several years ago, and I got to go to the National Ice Core Laboratory, the giant freezer in the Federal Center in Denver, Colorado. They took me inside this massive freezer where they store the ice cores. They go to Greenland and South Pole, and they drill holes in the ice, and they save the hole, bring it up and save it in that freezer. Article in the paper said they have ice core samples yanked from a remote Antarctic glacier stored in the giant freezer. And they said this in Greenland and Antarctica, where the weather is consistently dry and cold, the glaciers are miles thick, but annual rings are very thin. The deepest hole they ever drilled is 10,000 feet deep, and they counted 135,000 of these annual rings. So I went into the freezer and talked to the guys, and they said, yeah, we go to Greenland, we drill holes in the ice, here's our machine we drill holes with, you know, we save the core we bring up, and you can see these rings on there, dark, light, dark, light. And they explained to me, the dark and light rings mean summer and winter. They said in the summer it melts just a little bit, and it refreezes as clear ice, and it shows up dark here. And in the winter the snow packs, and you end up with a pack layer of snow which shows up as white ice. And they said these are annual layers, summer, winter, summer, winter. And they said, Mr. Hovind, we know you teach the earth is only 6,000 years old, but we've drilled holes 10,000 feet deep, and we counted 135,000 of these rings. How can you say the earth is only 6,000 years old? Well, those guys did not know about the lost squadron. But some airplanes landed in World War II. They ran out of gas, and so they landed in Greenland. They just left them, got a dog sled, and got home, you know, and went and got some more airplanes. Well, some guy got the brilliant idea to go get the airplanes off of Greenland. He thought he'd brush the snow off the wings, gas them up, and fly them home. When they found the airplanes in 1990, they had to look underneath the ice with special radar, and they found that they were 263 feet down in 48 years. Oh, now hold on just a minute. 48 years, 263 feet, that's 5.5 feet a year. Deepest hole they ever drilled is 10,000 feet. You divide that by 5.5, you get 1,800 years. Now, the deeper you get, the more the ice layers get squished. I understand that. So really, 4,400 is a reasonable number to assume for all of the ice to accumulate at the North and South Pole. So, I still wasn't happy with this. I called the guy who dug out the airplane. I went and visited the place where they have the airplane in Middleboro, Kentucky. The guy's name is Bob Carden. There's his phone number. I said, Bob, I understand you dug out the airplane. He said, yes, I did. We drilled a big hole down, and we went down and took it apart and brought it up piece by piece and put it back together in our place in Kentucky. I was there a few months ago. I said, Bob, did you notice any layers of ice above the airplane? He said, well, yeah, you can see them in the picture. I said, how many? He said, there were hundreds of layers of ice above the airplane. I said, well, how can you get hundreds of layers of ice, if they're annual rings? It only happened 48 years ago. Don't those layers represent summer, winter, summer, winter? He said, no, are you kidding? It's warm, cold, warm, cold, warm, cold. You can get 20 of those in 1 year. Up here, you can get 20 of those in 1 day, can't you? But guess what? Scientific American last year still called them annual rings. Now, either the author is ignorant, which can be fixed. See, ignorance can be fixed. Stupid is forever. But ignorance can be fixed. Either he's ignorant and he just doesn't know any better, or he's a liar trying to promote his theory. But the fact is, those are not annual rings. I'm afraid the books we have today, folks, are not science books. They're books about evolution. I collect them. I got hundreds of them. I taught high school science 15 years. Did you know the Mississippi River is depositing sediments at the rate of 80,000 tons every hour? 80,000 tons of mud every hour goes down the Mississippi and dumps off in New Orleans. That delta is growing larger and larger and larger. Well, they've studied the delta pretty carefully. They say the delta probably took about 30,000 years to accumulate that mud. That's a lot of mud. But I got a question. If the earth is millions of years old, why isn't the whole Gulf of Mexico full of mud by now? Well, I have a theory about that. Here's my theory. I believe about 6,000 years ago, God created the heaven and the earth. 4,400 years ago, there was a flood. As the flood water was running off, about half that mud washed out there the first 20 minutes. Because they had lots of water running through soft dirt with no grass and trees to protect it. You get erosion in a hurry. So it might look like it took 30,000 years. 4,400. They forgot the flood. Here's a picture of the oldest tree in the world. Did you know the oldest tree in the world is 4,300 years old? It's a bristlecone pine. That's an old tree. But I got a question. If the earth is millions of years old, why don't we have an older tree someplace? Why is the oldest tree 4,300 years old? Well, I have a theory about that. Here's my theory. I believe about 6,000 years ago, God created the heaven and the earth, and 4,400 years ago, there was a flood. So I bet the oldest tree in the world is less than 4,400 years old. Oh, it is. Maybe the Bible's right. Here's a picture of a coral reef growing underwater. You know, the largest reef in the world is in Australia. It's called the Great Barrier Reef. I got a call from a church in Brisbane several years ago. They said, Brother Hovind, would you like to come preach over here? I said, I need to pray about this. He said, yes. So I went over and preached in Brisbane, Australia. I got to go scuba diving at the Great Barrier Reef. It was incredible. You know, during World War II, some of the reef was destroyed by ships and anchors and bombs and stuff like that. And so the environmentalist wackos went out there to see how fast it grows back. They watched it grow for 20 years. It was a government project. After watching it grow for 20 years, they said the Great Barrier Reef is less than 4,200 years old. Well, now, that's pretty old, but I got a question. If the Earth is millions of years old, why is the biggest living reef less than 4,200 years old? Well, I have a theory about that. Here's my theory. I believe about 6,000 years ago, God created the heaven and the earth. 4,400 years ago, there was a flood, and the oldest living reef ought to be less than 4,400. Now, you might find some fossilized coral reefs, even huge ones on top of mountains, but that's from before the flood. See, the whole world got rearranged. That flood messed up the real estate big time. Okay? Here's a picture of Niagara Falls. The textbooks up here says, the rocky ledge above Niagara Falls has been eroding for 9,900 years. Now, how do they know that? Well, it's working its way backwards. It's eating the sides out. The Canadians built a concrete wall on their side to make sure it erodes American soil and not Canadian soil. Niagara Falls is eroding because the rocks are breaking off the edge and it's eating its way south. All waterfalls move backwards. They eat their way backwards. Niagara Falls is moving 4.7 feet per year, according to the museum guide. But Niagara Falls has only moved about 7.5 miles from where it started. Well, now, let's see. 7.5 miles, 4.5 feet a year, about 9,900 years. That's right. So I got a question. Niagara Falls is right there. It used to be up here. It's moving south because the water flows north. So if the Earth is billions of years old, why hasn't it gone all the way back to Lake Erie by now? Why is Niagara Falls right there? Well, I have a theory about that. Here's my theory. I believe about 6,000 years ago, God created the heaven and the earth. 4,400 years ago, there was a flood. As the flood water was running off, about half that creek washed out the first 20 minutes. Because there was lots more water moving over soft dirt. And you get erosion in a hurry. So it might look like it took 9,900 years, but they forgot the flood. Messes them up every time. Did you know when it rains, 30% of the water runs into the ocean? The rest evaporates or gets soaked into the ground. As the water runs into the ocean, it brings mineral salts off the ground. And then evaporation takes out pure water and leaves the salt back in the ocean. The oceans get saltier every day. But today, the oceans are 3.6% salt. They could have done that in less than 5,000 years. I was in a debate one time, and this atheist said, Dr. Hovind, how did the freshwater fish survive Noah's flood? I said, well, aren't you assuming the flood was salt water? He said, well, the ocean is salt water. I said, oh, it is today. Yeah, but it wasn't back then. See, the ocean gets saltier every day. Noah didn't have to bring water on the ark for the animals. There was fresh water. Just drop the bucket overboard. Plenty of water. He said, okay, then how did the saltwater fish survive? I said, well, there probably weren't any. He said, well, the world's full of saltwater fish. I said, well, yeah, it is today. You see, what's happened, over the last 4,400 years, the ocean has gotten saltier, and some of the animals have had to adapt to salt water. And today we have saltwater alligators and freshwater alligators. And they probably had a common ancestor. An alligator. He said, well, that's evolution. I said, no, no, sir. You see, changing from a freshwater alligator to a saltwater alligator is a pretty minor change compared to what you believe. You believe they changed from a rock to an alligator. That is a major change. He didn't have any more questions after that. How many have ever gone into a cave and the guide said, don't touch the formations. They take millions of years to form. Right? You heard that before? Same guide works in all them caves, right? They say it takes millions of years. Yes, boys and girls, Carlsbad Caverns in New Mexico took 250 million years. They say it takes 1,000 years to grow an inch. I don't think so. Here's a bat covered up with flowstone before he could rot. Here's 50-inch-long stalactites growing underneath the Lincoln Memorial, built in 1922. There's 2-inch stalactites growing off a refrigeration shed in Pensacola, Florida. They closed down a mine in Australia. They went back and opened it up 55 years later. Inside, it was jam-packed full of flowstone in 55 years. There's 2 people inside that circle for scale. There's a guy in Thermopolis, Wyoming. In 1903, he stuck a pipe in the ground in his yard because we had water bubbling up out of the ground, so he stuck a pipe, and the water bubbled out the top of the pipe. As it ran down, some of it evaporated, and it left behind a mineral deposit. How many have seen the rust spots under your sink? When the sink drips, you know, you get the rust under it. Well, the guy died, and they forgot about the pipe. It's been there 97 years now. Let's see. There it is right now, is the pipe in his yard. In less than 100 years, they have a huge flowstone formation. It does not take millions of years for that stuff to form. You know, when it rains, the dirt washes off the mountains into the oceans. At the current rate of erosion, the mountains are going to erode flat in 14 million years. Well, then how can we have fossils that are 300 times older than that still above sea level? Well, the mountains are not millions of years old. The simple fact is, the Earth is young. It cannot be billions of years old like they tell us in school. And I'll tell you what concerns me about all this is, what happens to Christians when they start believing the earth is billions of years old? It destroys their faith in the Bible. That's what happened to Crawford Toy. You probably never heard of this guy named Crawford Toy. He was a great Southern Baptist seminary professor. He loved the Lord. He loved the Bible. He almost married a girl named Lottie Moon. Anybody ever heard of Lottie Moon? The Southern Baptists every Christmas have the Lottie Moon offering. She was a great missionary to China. Crawford Toy began to believe the earth is billions of years old. It wrecked his faith in the Bible, so he said to his class one day, "The Bible intends to teach a plain six-day creation. The Bible is simply in error at that point." The Bible's in error? Crawford, maybe your theory's in error. Maybe you have been brainwashed, Crawford. Folks, it is very easy to get brainwashed. I'm going to try to brainwash the whole crowd here tonight. I'm going to tell you a little story. Maybe you've never been brainwashed before. It's a harmless procedure. As I tell the story, I will actually brainwash you. When I'm done brainwashing you, I will ask you 2 questions about the story I just told you. And if you know the answer to the question, I want you to raise your hand. Don't say it out loud, and don't tell anybody next to you. We're going to see how many folks we can brainwash tonight. The story's going to be right on the screen, so watch this carefully now. You ready? Once upon a time, a man left home jogging. He jogged a little ways and turned left. He jogged a little ways and turned left. He jogged a little ways and turned left and jogged back home. As he was jogging home, he noticed 2 masked men were waiting for him at home. Who were the masked men, and why did he leave home jogging? If you know for sure, raise your hand. Don't say it out loud. 4, 5, 6, 7, about 20 maybe. Okay? Put your hands down. The rest of you, pay attention. We'll try it again. Once upon a time, a man left home jogging. He jogged a little ways and turned left. I'll give you a hint. That's very important. He jogged a little ways and turned left. He jogged a little ways and turned left and jogged back home. As he was jogging home, he noticed 2 masked men were waiting for him at home. Who were the masked men, and why did he leave home jogging? Anybody new figured out? Any new ones? 2 more. Okay, the rest of you, pay attention. We're going to try this one more time. But this time, I'm going to unbrainwash you. You don't know it, but you are brainwashed right now. And I'm going to fix that by showing you a picture. Same story, word for word. Watch the picture now as I tell the story. Once upon a time, a man left home jogging. He jogged a little ways and turned left. He jogged a little ways and turned left. He jogged a little ways and turned left and jogged back home. As he was jogging home, he noticed there were 2 masked men waiting for him at home. Who... Or the masked man, catcher and the umpire. You say, Brother Hovind, is it that easy to get brainwashed? Oh, yeah. You see, as soon as I said a man left home, you started thinking about a house, and you were already headed down the wrong rabbit trail. Would you like to see how they brainwash kids in kindergarten in America in schools? It's going to happen this week to millions of Americans. You ready? Here's how the brainwashing starts. Boys and girls, we're going to read about prehistoric animals. The first page in the book shows some dinosaurs. The first sentence says, millions of years ago. Now, whether you understand it or not, and whether you believe it or not, that is calling Jesus a liar. Jesus said the creation of Adam was the beginning. The textbooks say the earth is billions of years old. Dr. Seuss says, boys and girls, it's billions of years, long before you were born. Jesus said the creation of Adam was the beginning. Somebody's wrong, folks. How many kids are going to be taught evolution this week in schools in your hometown? Thousands of them, right? Maybe that doesn't bother you, but it bothers me. And if you think I leave my gorgeous wife and travel all over the world so I can speak on creation because I like dinosaurs, you're mistaken. I do like dinosaurs, but folks, there's a war going on. And the mission field's not across the ocean, it's right across the street. The Bible warned us in Colossians, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. After the tradition of the world, not after men. And rudiments of the world, not after Christ. Hey, if a kid goes 12 or 15 or 16 years in your school system, how will he view the world? Well, he's going to believe in evolution, isn't he? He's going to doubt the Bible. See, the devil knows if creation is true, there is a creator. If evolution is true, there is no creator. And by the way, that's where the two different philosophies of government come in. Our founding father said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. They are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, rights you can't put a lien against. That's called a republic, a constitutional republic, where the law is supreme. Everybody obeys the law. The president, her husband, everybody obeys the law. Now, we've got a bunch of folks in our country who hold to the humanist, atheistic, evolutionary philosophy, which says the government decides right and wrong because there is no creator. And when you get the majority deciding right and wrong, that's called a democracy. That is a dangerous form of government. They always become dictatorships. See, the devil knows if creation is true, there are rules. If evolution is true, there are no rules. I spoke in a public school in Pennsylvania some time ago. There were about 900 kids there. A kid on the second row stood up. He said, Mr. Hovind, I'm an atheist. I said, really? He said, yep, there is no God. I said, are you sure? He said, oh, yeah, I'm sure. I said, well, son, let me ask you a couple questions here. Do you know everything? He said, well, no. I said, well, do you know half of everything? He said, no. I said, okay, let's just pretend for a few minutes that you know half of everything. Is it possible that God exists in the other half you don't know? Brand new thought rattled around in his brain for a while. I said, by the way, son, if you're an atheist, I need to ask you this question. How do you decide right from wrong? He said, oh, that's easy. I decide right from wrong because I'm the God of my own universe. I said, I'm glad to hear about that, son, because I'm going to shoot you in 5 minutes. He said, you can't do that. I said, oh, yes, I can. I'm the God of my own universe, and I decided it's fine for me to shoot you. Do you see where that logic would go in a hurry, folks? You know what's happened in America? We used to have a basic philosophy. We decided right and wrong based upon thus saith the Lord. We've given that up now. Now we decide right and wrong based upon what saith the majority. And I get real nervous when I see the politicians look at the polls to decide what they believe. You better decide what you believe based on what God says. If creation's true, there's a purpose to life. Not with evolution. No purpose to life at all. Why are we here anyway? Hey, if creation's true, man is a fallen creature and he needs a savior. If evolution is true, he's an evolving creature, don't need a savior. Save from what? No such thing as sin. If creation is true, then man brought death into the world. And death is a terrible thing. If evolution is true, death brought man into the world. Isn't that how evolution works? One is a little superior to the rest, and everybody else dies, and he survives. Isn't that how it's supposed to work? So really, death is how we get ahead. I haven't been able to verify. Maybe somebody here knows for sure. Somebody sent me an email and said the first school in America to offer deaf education classes. Columbine High School in Littleton. Anybody know that for sure? Is that true? I'd like to get that documented. Hey, folks, Jesus said the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. If the creation story is true, then man brought death into the world, and death is terrible. If the evolution story is true, death is how we get ahead. Do you see how opposite that philosophy is? And what a change that'll make in a kid's brain? Hey, if creation's true, there's an afterlife, not with evolution. If creation's true, you can know the future. You can know you're going to heaven. Boy, not with evolution, you can't. You don't have any idea where you're going when you die. You say, now, Brother Hovind, hold it. If the earth is 6,000 years old, like the Bible says, what about the dinosaurs? Well, that takes 2 more hours to cover the dinosaurs. We cover that on videotape number 3 of the series out there. You say, now, if the Bible says before the flood they lived to be 900. You can't live to be 900. Oh, they really did. Well, how is that possible? Well, that's all on videotape number 2 out there about the Garden of Eden, of why did they live to be 900 years old and why you won't live to be 900 in that carcass. It won't happen. So let's just suppose that the New World Order guys get their way. Suppose the world population is reduced to 500 million. Suppose every one of you is killed by however reason, either poisoning the water supply or just food fights. You know, who's got the food? Oh, you saved up for Y2K? Oh, we didn't. We're coming over to your house and get what you got. I mean, who knows, okay? But suppose you're dead in the next year. Where are you going to be? Are you sure you're going to heaven? Better make sure of that. Did you know you're going to be dead for a long time? George Washington died 200 years ago, and he is still dead. And he's just getting started. I'm going to die someday. I'm going to try to make it the last thing I do, but it's going to happen. And it's going to happen to you too. You don't know how long you're going to live, folks. Have you seen the way they drive around here? Even if you live to be 100, you're still going to die. Now, where are you going? I had an atheist a few months ago who was in a debate, and he said, Mr. Hovind, here you are teaching people the earth is 6,000 years old. Obviously, the Grand Canyon is millions of years old. That's what the textbook says. Over millions of years, the Colorado River carved the Grand Canyon from solid rock. I said, well, sir, there's a couple of things you might not know. Did you know if you built a dam across Grand Canyon, you would build a huge lake behind it? I mean, a big old lake would form, covering several states. He said, well, yeah, of course, of course. I said, well, sir, did you know the top of Grand Canyon is 6,000 foot elevation, roughly, above sea level, and the river is 1,800 feet above sea level? It's a big canyon. I said, sir, as the river enters the canyon, it flows downhill, and the dirt is going uphill because it's running through a mountain range called the Kaibab Uplift. He said, yes, I knew about all that. I said, well, sir, let me explain something to you. The Grand Canyon, the top of Grand Canyon, is higher than the bottom. He said, yes. I said, well, sir, the river only runs through the bottom. He said, well, obviously. I said, sir, the top of the canyon is higher than where the river enters the canyon. Rivers don't flow uphill. There's no way that river made that canyon. The flood made Grand Canyon. The river just flows through the crack, that's all. I get these guys call me all the time. They say, I'm an atheist. Oh, I'm sorry, but God doesn't believe in atheists. There aren't any atheists in hell right now. So you say, hold on just a second. You got me confused, Brother Hovind. You're telling me God made the whole world 6,000 years ago? Mm-hmm. And 4,400 years ago there was a flood? Mm-hmm. 2,000 years ago Jesus came? Mm-hmm. And here we are today getting ready for the year 2000? Yep. I suspect the Lord's coming back any minute. Now, I'm not going to sell my clothes and go stand on a hill someplace. I'm sure not going to set a date. I don't know when the Lord's coming, okay? I'm not going to write a book, 88 Reasons Why the Lord's Going to Come in 88, that's for sure. But I think he's coming pretty soon, folks. I don't know if he's coming in the year 2000 or not. I don't want to burst anybody's, you know, bubble or break anybody's theology all to pieces, but God might not even be using our calendar. He may have his own. So, I can't tell you when he's coming, but all I know is, folks, it sure looks like he's working on a 6,000-year calendar and a 1,000-year reign of Christ, and we better get busy. But some of you are more worried about who knocks a ball into a hole in the dirt than who's going to heaven or hell. And you're more worried about who throws the ball through a hoop than who goes to hell. And you spend more time watching sports on TV than you do witnessing to your neighbors. Look, if you're a child of God, you're confused. Now, you kids that are here are not going to understand this at all. We're going to quit. Kids, you won't understand the thing I'm about to say. Parents, you're going to understand this. Mom can wash the clothes, dry them, fold them, and set them by the bedroom door. The kid comes in, doesn't even see them. How many know what I'm talking about? Didn't you see those clothes? Son, would you please mow the grass? We can't find the car.
Well, sure, sure, Dad. Sure, Dad. I'll be glad to.
Hey, son, didn't you see the grass needed mowed? You know how frustrating it is when your kids don't see what needs to be done. I think God's up in heaven looking at some of his kids saying, don't you see what needs to be done? Forget who wins the Super Bowl. Go get somebody saved. Let's get busy. Folks, if this book's right, nothing else in life matters. And the more you read this book and the more you consider the heavens, the more you'll say, what is man that thou art mindful of him? But if you're still hooked on the exciting things man is doing, you know, the sports and the buildings, you're not doing it right. You need to get right with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this crowd. Thank you for these people that love you and want to serve you. Lord, there's a war going on. Millions of kids are going to be taught evolution this week, tonight on TV. Thousands of people are watching Discovery Channel and videos and TV programs that are teaching them the earth is billions of years old. The brainwashing is intense. It's incredible. Father, and it's a slap in your face. Everything they're saying puts death before sin and nullifies the death of Christ. Lord, help us to teach the truth uncompromisingly. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
If you'd like information about purchasing this presentation on videotape or for a tape catalog of all of the Stealing the Mind of America audio or videotapes or for future conference information, call Compass at 1-800-977-2177 or you can write to Compass at 460 Canfield Avenue, Suite 1000, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, 83815.